Welcome. My name is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and we thank you for taking some time to listen to some audio recordings from the pulpit of the Riverview Baptist Church. Our desire is to show the Lord high, holy, and lifted up, as well as try to be a blessing to those through the Word of God. Please enjoy this message, and we pray that it will be a blessing to your life. If you don't mind, to take your copy of the Word of God and turn with me to the New Testament book of Jude. The New Testament book of Jude, and of course there's only one chapter, it's towards the end of your Bible, so if you find the book of Revelation, one book to the other direction, and you come to the book of Jude. You come to the book of Jude. Remember, as we've explained, that Jude is the corridor leading from the epistles to the book of Revelation. That in the church epistles, we find how to behave like a church, how to live like a Christian, all of those things that are functioning. Then we go to the book of Revelation, which speaks about the last times. And the book of Jude brings us from the epistles and the church and how things are supposed to run, bringing us to the last days. And so it is a very appropriate book dealing with the last time type things. And we've already been discussing in here a little bit about how the world and the last days are going to be. And we spent some time explaining that God will judge those type of things. So if you don't mind, let's look at the book of Jude once again and find ourselves. We're going to start at verse 1 and kind of read down to where we are now. So the book of Jude, of course, is right before the book of Revelation. So Revelation's the last book of the Bible. The book right before that is the book of Jude. Notice with me in Jude chapter 1, starting at verse 1. Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ, the brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ and called. Mercy unto you and peace and love be multiplied. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and to exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. For there are certain men crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying our only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. I will therefore put you in remembrance, though you once knew this, how that the Lord, having been saved of the people and out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not. And the angels, which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, hath he reserved into everlasting change under darkness, under the judgment of that great day. Even as Sodom and Gomorrah, the cities of about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, are set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Likewise, also these filthy dreamers defile the flesh, despise dominion, and speak evil of dignitaries. And if you're in the habit of marking things in your Bible, mark a phrase that we find in verse number 8, that we see in the book of Jude in verse 8. Notice the phrase, these filthy dreamers. These filthy dreamers. We, of course, know that these filthy dreamers are alive today. The Bible speaks about last time type things, and it speaks about these filthy dreamers. The expression of this is to emphasize the fact that these men have no pure thought, meaning the things that they think about are filthy. The things that they think about are wicked. The things that they dwell upon and let their mind wander apart are things that are not for the Lord. And the Bible speaks about that who we are is what we think about. That's who we are. So a man thinketh, so he is. These men are filthy dreamers. They dream, they think about evil things to do. We've come to a place where filth has become a commonplace in our world. That filth is everywhere. Whether you turn on the television, whether you turn on a radio, whether you turn on Facebook, where you listen to the news now, it is filth, filth. And these people think this way. And we're surrounded by more people who are filthy than people who want to serve God. That's just one of the things of what we live in. We live in a generation now who are biblically illiterate. What does that mean? That means we live in a generation of people who don't know the Bible. They have nothing to know the Bible. We could even run into kids that have never heard the name of Jesus Christ. We live in a time where people don't know the Bible. And because they don't know the Bible, they don't have an anchor. They don't have a moral compass. They don't have a guide. They don't have anything to guide them and to keep their thoughts within bounds. And so their thoughts are out of bounds, out of whack, out of natural desires, and have gone crazy. The people today are open, accessible, and willing to follow personalities, strange ideas, or almost anything. It is amazing to watch what people will follow, what people will do, the way that they behave. That it's almost like, what is the newest trend of the thing that we hate? Whether it's a word. We hate this certain word, and everyone's lining, protesting it. We hate this statue, so let's go ahead and stand in line to protest this statue. Oh, we hate the idea of ties, and we hate the idea of this haircut. We hate the... And so they get to the idea, and I'm being a tiny bit facetious, but not much, because you just turn on social media now and find, what is the newest thing that we protest? What is the newest thing that offends? What is the newest thing that people need protection from, that need a safe place to hide from because of things? Did you hear that there was a couple, college universities that started, I forgot what the word was, I think it was President Trump or something, but they needed a safe place because of just someone saying President Trump. They just needed a place where they could feel safe. We, you know, no wonder that one of the modern terms for them is snowflakes. That, but we live in this world now where people think and anything goes. And their thinking does not line up with the Bible. Of course, the Bible is very clear that in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 13, that the world will wax worse and worse. We shouldn't be surprised when things get worse and worse. Now, on our part, do we hold up? Do we say the world's getting worse and worse, so we just kind of hold up? No, we recognize that people are going to need help. That people need help, and how do they get the help? We reach them one by one. We have to go out to where they are, to work with them from where they are, and to bring them to the Lord. But they have to be reached. But we have to understand that we're living in a world that we're outnumbered and outgunned. But we have God on our side, and we've already got the victory. So if you don't mind, let's take the book of Jude right here in verse number 8, and let's see three things that these guilty or that these filthy dreamers are guilty of. Three things that the Bible says these filthy dreamers are guilty of. Notice, if you don't mind, the very first thing. Notice with me in verse 8. Likewise, so in comparison to what God just gave about Sodom and Gomorrah, about the angels, about Israel, how they disobeyed God, how they had their own thoughts of doing things, and so now they were destroyed because they had their own way. Remember that when God sent the flood in Noah's day, that the Bible describes that their thoughts were only continually evil. Can you imagine that? That their thoughts were only continually evil. So what was the, before God sent the flood, what were the people's thoughts like? And this is what we're speaking about, because what a man thinks is so he is. What is their thought life? Well, the Bible says before the flood, they were only evil continually. Now the Bible describes that in the last days, we have filthy dreamers, that their thought life is filthy and wicked. And because of this, God has sent a destruction. Why did God send a destruction? Well, think about Sodom and Gomorrah. In Sodom and Gomorrah, we could see that the last rung of the ladder of defiling the flesh would be homosexual behavior. The Bible gives a description in the book of Romans chapter 1 that they had the knowledge of God and they walked away from it. In fact, let's just pause here and actually look at what the Bible says. Look with me in the book of Romans, chapter number 1. The book of Romans, chapter number 1. We're seeing these filthy dreamers, how their minds work. The Bible records, because again, God knows man, knows what's inside of man, knows how man thinks. And so notice, if you don't mind, this progression, or rather this degression. Notice with me in the book of Romans, chapter number 1, and let's pick it up at verse 21. The book of Romans, chapter 1, and verse 21, the Bible says this: because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. So we start off with this digression, that they knew who God was, they knew the knowledge of God, and they turned away. They did their own thing. As they walked away from God, it says that their foolish heart, they became vain in their imaginations. Notice as we pick it up at verse 22, professing themselves to become wise, they become fools. We see that all the time. They think they're wise and smart, but they come up with foolish things and foolish consequences. Verse 23, and change the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore God gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up. Notice, this is the second time that it says that God gave them up. God gave them up. Because he gave them up, what happened to them? In verse number 26, for this cause God gave them up unto vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use to that which was against nature. And likewise the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, man with men, or men with men, working that which is unseemly, receiving in themselves the recompense of their error which was met. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over, third time, gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. Let's imagine, if you don't mind, an illustration. Let's say that a child is holding a kite. And let's say that as the child is holding the kite and the wind is blowing, the kite is saying, hey, let me go. I want to be free. Let me fly. And you know what happens if the child lets that kite go? Is that kite free? It is not, because it heads towards destruction. The kite will run into something. It will fall down. It will break. It is not free. But while it's in the hands of somebody who knows what it's doing, they could keep the kite away from danger, even though the kite feels like it wants to fly away. The same thing's true with someone who says, God, leave me alone. It says he gave them up. But they did not get freedom as they thought they did, but they headed towards destruction, destroying themselves and others in the process. These filthy dreamers, the Bible says, have done this. Is what is talked about here, that they had God, they knew something about God, turned away from what little knowledge of God that they had, and said, we want to do what we want to do, and God gave them up. And part of him giving them up, turning them over to a reprobate mind, turning them over to a mind that is filthy and wicked, comes to the place where they even misuse what God has intended and turn towards homosexuality. This is the last rung. Now, because of the filthy dreamers, because of how things are setting up, we live in a society now where this seems normal. You understand that we live in a day of so-called tolerance, which is not tolerance at all. It is people being indoctrinated to turn more against God, more against the way that God thinks, more of anti-God attitudes, that we understand that we live in a society now that this is all accepted. And by the way, the more that we stick to biblical principles in this society, the more our ideas are going to seem radical. Do you understand that this type of message today does not match society's view of the world? And they say that we are the bigoted ones. We are the ones. But they are the ones outside of bounds. They're the ones who are going to stand before God. They're the ones who said, God, leave me alone. The Bible speaks about, I think it's in Psalm 2, but it talks about why does the heathen rage? And why do they imagine a vain thing? But then you know what it says about God? He's in heaven laughing. He says, what are you guys going to do? We have a society that says, I hate you, God. You don't tell me what to do. And he laughs because what are they going to do to a God? They're going to stand before God and give an account. I saw a meme not too long ago that said, atheism is a temporary disorder. Because one day they're going to stand before God and they're going to give an account. They're going to stand before God. God is God, whether people recognize he's God or not. They will bow down and give an account for their lives. But God is so much of a perfect gentleman that when the people say, no, I don't want you, God, you leave me alone. He says, fine, let's see how well you do without me. And they destroy themselves. And they think they're free. And they're not. They're not. We see these filthy dreamers. They first of all defile the flesh. That's what it talks about in the book of Jude, where we were at before, Jude 8. They defile the flesh. They defile the lives that God's gave them. Now, as for us, we have to uphold the standard of the Word of God and get God's message out. People are destroying themselves and their flesh because they don't know the Word of God. We have to reach out to them, throw out a lifeline, take them from where they are and begin to teach them, to love on them, to work on them, to bring them up. That we live in a society that's falling apart. And by the way, homosexuality is not the problem. Abortion is not the problem. What is the problem? They don't know God. That is the solution. And so many people may try to take the fight on a symptom. The symptom is homosexuality. The symptom is abortion. The symptom is dealing with these other sins. But that is dealing with a symptom and it doesn't take care of the problem. The problem is they need to know God. So how does that make our stand? Well, we love the sin. Sinner hate the sin. We have to reach out to people. We have to reach out where they are to love on them without condoning the sin, but we have to reach out to them. They have to know that there's a God that's real. Notice as we go on and we see something else the Bible describes about these filthy dreamers. Not only do they defile the flesh, but notice what the Bible says here in verse number 8. Likewise, these filthy dreamers defile the flesh. They despise dominion. Despise dominion. The word dominion carries the idea of authority. These filthy dreamers want no one to tell them what to do. No one tells us what to do. No one's going to be the boss of me. I can do whatever I want. I make my own rules. And what happens is that because they think no one's going to be their boss, they despise all authority. Why do people hate God? Why do they hate God? Because they don't want him to tell them what they're going to do. That's the only reason why they hate God. You know, God is a great God. God loves people so much. Do you know God doesn't want to do anything to harm someone? He has your best interest in mind. So why don't people listen to God? Because they don't want for him to tell them what to do. And by the way, it doesn't stop on the authority of dominion. They go through everything. We live in a time where anarchy is the spirit of the age. Nobody wants to obey rules. Nobody wants the boss to tell him what to do. Nobody wants any rules of any kind. They want to erase all rules, all standards, all principles, anything that seems like a rule. They want to break it. They want to put it aside. They want to make it so So none of these rules stand anymore. Well, this is part of those filthy dreamers. It is a mental revolution. People don't think the way that they used to. They don't think about it. So what are we supposed to do? Well, once again, we don't give in. We don't throw in the towel. We try to reach people from where they are and try to lovingly bring them step by step closer to the Lord. But we have to guard them because we live in a world that doesn't like rules. Do you know rules are there to protect you? Standards are guardrails to keep us safe. They're there to keep us from harm, whether you think so or not. But we live in a place that hates rules. Have you ever thought about why people hate rules? I mean, why hate rules? Is rules really that bad? When you think about it, is rules really that bad? But we live in a time where people hate rules. Well, this is part of that society that we now have of filthy dreamers. That first of all, they defile the flesh. They despise dominion. But notice the third thing here in verse 8. Likewise also these filthy dreamers defile the flesh, despise dominion, and speak evil of dignitaries. The word dignitaries carries the idea for someone who honor is due. So a dignitary is someone that requires honor, that is worthy of honor. Well, who's worthy of honor? Well, the Bible says in one of the Ten Commandments to honor thy father and thy mother. Is that one of the commandments? Well, do we live in a society where kids like to honor their parents? Absolutely not. We live in a society where kids could divorce their parents. They can go to court and say, guess what? You're not my parent anymore. Is that the best thing for a child? No. Now, we understand there are cases of abuse, and those are horrible, and we understand there needs to be a separation. However, because a child doesn't like a rule that the parent has, they can try to go to court and try to rule that the parent doesn't have authority over them anymore. And that's a legal recourse. We know that there are many people who don't take legal recourses that rebel against their parents all the time. It is natural, and unfortunately, it goes into a church. How many kids even in a church that don't honor their parents, that don't give them honor? You understand, your parents may not be perfect, and that's not a requirement. The only requirement is that they're the parents, and they're worthy of honor. It doesn't matter how old you are. For example, I don't live in my parents' house anymore. However, my parents are still worthy of honor. Honor. What else is worthy of honor? Take other things. For example, you could take the idea of the pastor. Is pastor worthy of honor? Well, the Bible talks about in the book of 1 Timothy chapter 4, he's worthy of double honor. But people love to speak against the preacher. At someone worthy of honor. How about God? Is God worthy of honor? But don't people make light of God? They tell God jokes and they make him seem like he's a feeble old man who doesn't know what he's doing. People do that all the time. They don't honor God. They don't honor dignitaries. They don't honor people who are worthy of honor. This is the kind of world that we live in. However, again, we're not without hope. We can't do anything about society as a whole, meaning we're not supposed to go out and protest and say, listen here, obey God or else. Our job is to go out and reach people one by one. Take them where they are and bring them to God. Take someone else, take them from where they are and bring them to God. And that God can get a great victory, but we have a lot of work to do. And we can't just allow society to keep going on and us do nothing. We have to go reach them. We have to go out and try to tell them about the Bible. Bring them and watch God change lives. That's the type of world we live in where God can still change lives. He could bring them from being a filthy dreamer to someone that's able to honor God. Isn't that a great miracle what God can do? That God can change lives. Testimonies of people who hated God that turn around and end up serving God. You could take someone like Mel Trotter, who was a drunkard, a businessman, ruined his whole life because of drink, got to the place where he was told that his little baby was sick, and he didn't have the money to go get the medicine, and the doctor went and visited him and said, Mel, you take this money, and the doctor gave him money. Go, don't walk, run to the pharmacy. Go get the medicine. Go get it now, or your baby's going to die. And Mel Trotter took the money and started to go to the pharmacy, but right across the street was the bar. And he took the medicine money for the medicine to save his child's life, and he went to the bar and got drunk. When he came back the next morning, the child had already died. At the funeral, someone donated and bought some brand new shoes for the baby to be buried in and to make him look nice, since Mel Trotter and his family didn't have it because he had used all the money. And Mel Trotter took the shoes off the baby's feet, sold them, and went to the bar and got drunk again, stealing his own baby's shoes for the funeral. Well, he eventually made his way to the Pacific Garden Mission, where he came to know Jesus Christ as his Savior. He got saved and realized what God can do. And he not only ran Pacific Garden Missions at one time as a preacher, but I believe he started 8 other missions all throughout the United States to reach other people who are at the lowest point so they could get saved and they could get delivered. You understand, God can save. God can work. That we've always lived where there's wicked people, but we don't live in a world without hope. There may be more of the filthy dreamers than us Christians, but we have a God who's bigger than them all. And he can save lives. He can work on lives. He could take someone who was worthless to society and turn them to something very valuable because of Jesus Christ. We have to understand we do live in a world of filthy dreamers, but we don't live in a world without hope. We have a great God that we can work on now, that we could work with, that could do such great things. Thank you for listening to this audio message. This is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and I encourage you to take this information that you just received and make a specific decision to follow after the Lord. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, let me beg you to take the time to receive Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. If you are saved, I encourage you to make a decision in your life to help you get closer with the Lord. If there's anything specific we can do to be a blessing or to pray for you, we encourage you. Look us up on the internet at riverviewbc.com. Once again, that's riverviewbc.com. Or if you would prefer to call us, you can give us a call at area code 920-530-6308. Once again, that number is 920-530-6308. If there's anything we can do to be a blessing or an encouragement to you, please let us know. We would love to make ourselves available. Thank you.